is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Del?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the Cool Check-In.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
ESPN and Jason Aaron and Michael Jordan gave the people what they wanted last night with episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. So, as we will every single Monday, it's time for Jalen and Jacoby's Last Dance Recap. Jalen, we'll start this recap where they started episode 5, and that is with Kobe Bean Bryant going against Michael Jordan in what was Kobe's first All-Star game in Madison Square Garden. What did watching that behind-the-scenes footage, listen to Michael Jordan discuss Kobe Bryant's game, and then later hear Kobe talk about what a mentor Jordan was, what did that bring up for you?
Well, first and foremost, how we lost the late, great Kobe Bryant so very young, and there was so much more that he was going to give society and the game of basketball and to his family that it's just really tragic that he and all of the people that perished in that accident aren't going to be with us anymore, including his daughter who just her 14th birthday just passed. So, that, Jacoby, that was the thing that came to mind, and also how they knew Kobe was next, and he knew it as well. For a guy really that was barely starting on the Lakers to make the All-Star game and to say you wanted to be the next MJ, you become the remix of him, the next best version. He becomes your mentor, and you go in at a mano in the All-Star game. Like, this is a legendary NBA situation, and I'm glad it got exposed.
And it was sort of haunting to hear Kobe Bryant in that interview, but it was also really nice to hear him talk about the relationship, the big brother relationship he had with Michael Jordan. Because during this documentary, we've seen Michael Jordan sort of, he doesn't like that he gets compared to Clyde Drexler, and he thinks that he's the greatest in the world. He's so competitive. But it seems like later on in his life, he sort of accepted his space as a mentor, as an OG to the young Kobe Bryant, whose game certainly mirrored his own. Now, something else that was brought up during this set of documentary episodes was Michael Jordan's taste for games, taste for gambling. And obviously there was a trip to Atlantic City during a Knicks series that was brought into question and brought all this to light. What do you think about the way Michael Jordan spoke about what some consider to be a gambling problem?
Well, a couple of things. This is classic do as I say, not as I do. And so many people are watching the documentary and you want to sacrifice and overcome adversity and be a champion and in the go conversation like Mike. But another thing you shouldn't want to do is gamble as much as he does on everything, whether it's at cards, whether it's at golf, whether it's at pitching quarters with security guards. He's the functioning addict. It just so happened that he's worth almost $2 billion. So that big bank usually takes little bank. That's one of the things I want to make sure that I acknowledge for all of the people that's going to see this doc.
Well, so see, when me and you go to Atlantic City, as you see here, I end up losing too much money and having to apologize to my wife. Now, Michael Jordan was just so stable financially that he would never get himself into that situation, but he certainly did enjoy gambling, which brought us one of the best characters of this entire set of episodes in this documentary, and that is his security guard, a gentleman by the name of John Wozniak, who unfortunately passed away in January. But he hit Jordan with the shrug after playing the quarter against the wall game and taking his money. God, this guy is just, he's just, you know what? I understand why Michael wanted him around. He might not be the best security guard in the world, but he just seems like a great hang. Seems like that guy loves life. He's the true star of this documentary.
Absolutely. Also, in rest in peace, it shows him living his best life, and it's a great tribute to somebody that got a chance to spend a lot of time around MJ and a person that he was really gracious with and vice versa.
And we see so many of these sort of legacy moments from Michael Jordan throughout this documentary, and there are obviously some still to come. But one thing that is the legacy of Michael Jordan, maybe even as much or maybe even beyond what he did on the court, is his basketball sneakers and those Nikes and Air Jordan and the Jordan brand. And we heard about the origin story of that. He wanted to sign with Adidas. He was going to sign a Converse, but they had too many people. Nike was like a track brand. He didn't even want to go talk to Nike, but his mom made him. Just imagine, Jalen Rose, if he never signed with Nike. Like, would I be wearing Jordan Adidas right now?
You would be. And for a sneakerhead that was born in the early 70s, it was Adidas' turn, especially with Run DMC, Forms, Snake Skins, Top Tens. It was their turn. And then all of a sudden, a guy named Michael Air Jordan came into the mix, and then it just catapulted Nike to a whole different level. And so what he was able to do with Nike and still sell more sneakers than any athlete in the history will ever do, it's been an amazing accomplishment for a guy who didn't want to go take the meeting, but mama knows best. She's like, you're going to take that meeting. That's what you're going to take that meeting. And look what happened years later. He became the logo, Jumpman.
Well, another thing the documentary addressed last night was his infamous quote, Republicans buy sneakers too. Now, he's been criticized over the course of his career for not being as politically active as others would like him to do. And he explained that in the documentary last night in the interview. And if you notice, he also kind of threw Horace Grant under the bus a little bit, because he said that in jest to Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant. And Horace Grant is one of the people that a lot of people gave information for the Jordan Rules book. Jalen, what do you think about the way he addressed the criticisms of him and not being politically active?
Well, first and foremost, I saw Horace Grant and Michael Jordan play a lot of basketball together. Not much after they won 3 championships. MJ seemed to get him up out of there quick. And another thing that it made me think of is how a guy like MJ, when you have so much power, everybody want you to influence their situation. And I've been really fortunate to be philanthropic and try to be socially and politically active, but that's not for everyone. And so if you're not passionate about it or knowledgeable about it, I would encourage you to focus on what your craft is. And that's exactly what he did. Even though he lost a lot of points in the neighborhood, if you remember, it took Spike Lee to give him a cool factor, Nike to give him a cool factor. Chuck D was making rhymes like, I like Nike, but wait a minute. So that was happening until he got with that brand.
That's a really good point, Jalen. Well, every Monday we'll be breaking down The Last Dance. Make sure you listen to The Last Dance after show on our podcast feed. But right now it is time for News That Matters. Jalen, during the quarantine, it sprouted some new content. And one of the new content forms that has sprouted has been the Instagram live battle between artists or producers or just musicians. And 50 Cent had been jokingly challenged by Ja Rule. Now, obviously, that's not a fair fight. But 50 Cent said that he and Snoop Dogg should go track for track on Instagram Live. This, to me, sounds like something that I want to see, not just because of the music, because these are two of the best personalities in entertainment. Just in between the songs, the banter would be so good. I think this might be, outside of Dre and Diddy, the number one marquee matchup I want to see. What do you think?
Moguls, legends, hits, bars! Success is longevity. I thought you was going to talk about DJ's Khaled and his IG. Did you see what happened on his?
Of course I saw that. And he had to apologize. Yeah, very
let's show
quickly.
His.
Like,
run DJ Khaled's IG.
No, we can't run that. No. Do not run that.
We can talk about 50 and Snoop later. Run Khaled's IG. Run it.
A cowboy. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we had some pretty interesting NFL news break over the weekend. We now know where Andy Dalton will play football next season. Jerry Jones brought on Andy Dalton, we assume, to back up Dak Prescott, who has not signed a long-term deal with the star quite yet. What do you think the implications of Dalton signing with the Cowboys are on Dak signing with the Cowboys?
Making your quarterback room stronger is always great for your football team. Backup quarterback can become one of the most important positions on a football squad. That's why it's imperative to have one. That's why you see the Packers doing what they got to do to draft Love. That's why you see Philadelphia drafting Jalen Hurts. Teams are going to make moves. The Saints added Jameis Winston. I'm still trying to figure how he got $1 million. But yet Andy Dalton got $7 million. But hey, it's the salary cap. Dak shouldn't sweat it. This dude ain't competition. Now, they do have weapons. He's a competent starting quarterback. He's not on Dak's level. So he's going to look good in Dallas with that great running back and Ezekiel Elliott and that terrific offensive line. But let's not act like Dak should be threatened. Now, if you go sign Cam Newton or something like that, then that's sending a message. To me, this just says they want to have a great quarterback room and have a solid backup in case something happened to Dak once he gets signed.
Yeah, I think that quarterback position is just so important that you want to have the gap in quality between your starter and your backup to be as small as possible, but you also don't want to pay both of them. And I thought this is a really good option for the Cowboys. And even if just a little bit, it will entice Dak a little bit
A deal done
as they're heading into the season. A little bit, Jalen. At least they can now say we can go into the season with Andy Dalton.
He got another 10, 12 years to play. He ain't worried about that.
Well, you mentioned Cam Newton, who still doesn't have a football team. So I went ahead and just listed the best fits for Cam Newton. I want you to take a look at this list. We got the Patriots. I would love to see that. That might be just a little bit of me wishing for it to happen. The Bears. I don't think Trubisky's going to be the long-term answer there. Washington, Jaguars, and Broncos. Which team could you see Cam Newton playing for this season?
Well, he's a great player when healthy and a former MVP. I could see him playing in any system, to be frank with you. It would only depend on where he signs is how we're going to spin the narrative before he plays. If he signed with the Patriots, people will be like, that's a genius move. If he signs with Jacksonville, it's like, it's all on him. He got something to prove. And if it fails, then it's going to be his fault. So I could see him anywhere. And people who don't sign Cam this offseason that need quarterbacks are going to regret it.
Well, I mean, every one of those teams has a quarterback that I think that the team itself knows they're going to have to replace at some point in the near future. So it just seems like signing Newton, whose number gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The longer, it's like a house. The longer you're on the market, the smaller the number gets. And I just feel like any one of those teams would be so lucky to have a press conference, to have Cam Newton come in and just say the right things and hold up the uniform. I feel like that would invigorate the fan base and would put a lot of positivity going into what has been, frankly, a very negative spring in professional sports. And Jalen, we got some footage of something over the weekend. It's going to absolutely blow your mind and terrify me at the same time. I'll show you what that is right after this. During these uncertain times, safety matters the most. And when something matters the most, you can trust ADT. Now more than ever, you need the peace of mind with 24/7 rapid response monitoring from the leader in home security, and that is ADT. Did you know that ADT can help you customize a security package that fits almost any lifestyle? You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. They have so much, and it's all so convenient, secure, and reliable. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors. They're connected 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. Everything is perfect at ADT. They have professional installation. They install smart home security, is an ADT expert. They average over a decade of installing in your home. You know when you're working with someone from ADT, you're going to get the best service. And they have the largest security network, 9 ADT owned and operated monitoring centers, all operating 24/7. Here's the thing. During these uncertain times, protecting your home and your loved ones safe and healthy is the number one priority in ADT. Is the number one way to get the peace of mind. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, I did a lot of soul searching this weekend. I made a huge mistake on Friday, and it all started when on the show we played this clip of a gentleman by the name of Iron Mike Tyson.
But also, Tip and Mike. Mike and Tip.
I like that. Because I see Jalen Rose has his little guy with him, Jalen and Jacob.
Right.
Jacoby and Jalen.
So I'll be the little guy.
Tip and Mike. Tip and Tyson.
Tip and Tyson. You dig what I'm saying? I like that.
Jalen has his little guy. Jalen has his little guy is what Iron Mike Tyson said about me. That's how he sees me, as Jalen's little guy. And I even went so far last week to get upset. And I might have said some things about Mike Tyson that I really regret. You know, because he said he was going to come back in the ring. And you know what? I might have even said that perhaps maybe I could be an opponent of his if I'm such a little guy. Well, Jalen, he dropped some training footage of himself getting ready to come back in the ring. And let's just take a look at that. Jalen, how terrifying is that? That man's 53 years old. You see the way he was hitting that?
Those my dogs, too. Shout out to Mike Tyson and Tip. We're going to get both of them on the show. I was just watching T.I. He has multiple podcasts doing his thing. But he saw you, Jacoby. You know he pay attention to the show. You clearly see he know about the show. He saw you. You like, I'm this height. I weigh this much. You had the nerve to say that into a microphone, and he dropped his footage. So what do you think about that? That was for you.
I could go into the ring with that body armor, a full-on helmet, like a full football helmet, the hand pads, and I would still get knocked out in the first 30 seconds. I would not be able to take one punch to the stomach the way that trainer did with those pads. He punches so much power. So scared of Mike Tyson.
He'll puncture your lungs. He'll shatter your ribs. He'll break your face each time he hits you. It'll be like three
or
four hits.
Maybe he'll break my nose back straight, though. Maybe he could break me back straight.
And you got his picture hanging up right over your shoulder.
I do. Where you at, Mike? We'll be back tomorrow. Jalen, there's so much in The Last Dance. We don't have enough time to break it all down during the show section of the show. So we have to go back in on The Last Dance, because there's a lot that didn't get discussed. There's a couple things. Number one, I just want to talk about some of the logistics of the tri-state area, because he makes it sound like the Atlantic City casinos are like in Brooklyn, you know, like right over the bridge or something. But the Atlantic City casinos, very, very far away. And there are witnesses that have him there at 2:30 in the morning. In the middle of the night, you can maybe make that drive in 2.5 hours, get you back to the hotel at 5 for the game the next night. But he was downplaying that trip a little bit.
Well, let me tell you a couple of things that we do as society that I'm okay with it, because I work hard to try to be talented and disciplined and treat people well. So hopefully my faith and my karma works in my favor. But let's not act like that there aren't successful people in the world of sports that do certain things that if they did them and they weren't successful, people wouldn't frown upon them. It reminds me of how Pop and or Belichick used to do their interviews. Let the Lions coach have the nerve to act like that. And so how that relates to Michael Jordan is, yes, there's so many people that's going to draw inspiration about his basketball, his work ethic, his discipline, his greatness, his will to win, and how he would do it at all costs. But one thing I don't want people to get enthusiastic about is how he gambled on everything. Cards.
Yeah.
Golf. Pitching quarters. He's a serial gambler, a functioning addict. I guess that's what that's called.
It's easy to be a functioning gambling addict when you have as much money as Michael Jordan does. I just want to know what, to what extent the losses would pile up. Like, did his accountant or his money manager ever say, like, Mike, you know, you made 40 mil last year, you lost 10 mil gambling. Like, did it ever get to something like that? Because when you have as much money as him, and all the numbers that I've seen of him gambling have been for someone of his wealth, not crippling, like $57,000 to Slim for golf. Okay. But when you make as much as Michael makes, $57,000 is like $40 to us.
Absolutely. But the one thing you and I both know is the person that does the most gambling, it ain't because they're winning. They're winning. You know, we could talk about the competitive spirit and the edge that it gives and the fun that you're having everything, but there's reasons why people have lost their lives and their minds and their families and their ability to think and reason properly because of gambling. Let me tell you a story. I was actually at a Mike Tyson fight. I think it was maybe Evander Holyfield. And I'll never forget. And this person did reach out to me maybe like 5 or 6 years ago and say thank you. It was like 4 or 5 in the morning, Jacoby. And I was killing them on the blackjack table. I was sitting there by myself. Earlier in the night, Jerome Bettis was there. I remember running into him.
I know you were by yourself because no one wants to play blackjack with you because you're too crazy with the cards.
And it was one of those nights where I was going crazy, like high five, low six figure win. And I go to the window and I'm trying as much cash in my pocket and in my socks and everywhere as possible. Yeah. Right. And you know how in Vegas, you walk a couple, I walk maybe like a couple of hallways, make a little left, you know, da, 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 whatever, whatever, don't. And then all of a sudden I see this woman standing up against the wall, like half slouched over in the fetal position, like just bawling, sobbing, crying. You know, I guess, you know, somebody she was on a date with or whatever happened that they fell out and I guess he kicked her out of the room and she didn't have her stuff and all, whatever, whatever. So, you know, I gave her some bread. I think I gave her $500 maybe.
Whoa. And,
absolutely. And so, like, being in a gambling environment, no clocks. Drink for free. You're not really eating when you're at the table. You're not really supposed to be on the phone. And when you go to the bathroom, you rush to come back.
Oh, yeah. You
okay. Right? You rush to come back. That's called an addiction.
That's called a good time.
Okay.
That's called a good time.
Okay. It depends on how often you're doing it.
You know, I was watching Michael Jordan last night. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to start gambling on sports when sports come back. It just looks like so much fun.
And you know what else I got to say really that ain't nobody else going to say? And I'm going to make sure I ask Jason about this when we hit him up this Sunday after the next episode. 1998, Michael Jordan in his hotel room, laid out on the bed, drink on the table, cigar in his hand. I'm really disappointed we ain't beat them in 98. He had a pot belly and was out of shape.
Yeah, he did have a belly. I know exactly what you're talking about. He had
I'm
a
like,
belly.
Should've beat them. I'm like, we should have beat smoking, them.
You're smoking a cigar on game day?
He made it worse. He made it worse for me.
You covered the steps in chalk, Chloe? My daughter covered the whole steps in chalk, she said. Good. I hope she means to stoop outside. I hope she means to stoop outside. Yeah, y'all should have won. Because you could tell
I'm like, Michael Jordan beat them. Like, come on, man.
If you look at him in like the 89, 90 seasons when he's all wiry and muscly and you could see like, you could see the forearm muscles that his forearm muscles have. You know what I mean? Like he got all of his muscles have muscles. Later on, 98, 99, he was drinking more. You know, he had the full face.
He should have beat them.
You know?
Yeah. That added insult to injury.
Listen, Larry should have played you more. That's all. He should have played you more. Larry Bird should have played you more. You always tell the story where if Jordan scores twice in a row, then he's going to take you out. Maybe that's why you only scored, played 16 minutes in the game, Jay. Maybe that's why you didn't get back in. You always tell the story like, oh, I should have played more. I don't know why I didn't play more, but let me tell you what Larry said before I went in. We can connect the dots
right there.
You
gotta ask Larry about that side of the story.
Yeah. We can connect the dots right there. He's like, yeah, he did. He did go 3 for 4. Yeah, but you know, Jordan was 8 for 10 on him. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it didn't work out in our favor to have him on the floor there. So, Jay, there's a place in Houston called Club Onyx. Okay.
I'm very familiar, sir. I've been there.
Okay. You've been there.
I promise you, I've been there.
I've never been there. And what they try to do
is amazing, terrific, wonderful, fantastic, mind blowing, future changing experience that I will welcome everybody when the quarantine ends to partake in what I feel is an essential.
Well, it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant, right? Just a simple restaurant. just like a steakhouse or like a Mexican restaurant or something. It's a restaurant, right?
Not that I recall.
Not that you recall. Oh, because Texas has relaxed some of their mitigation restrictions. They're allowing restaurants to be open at 25% capacity. Club Onyx tried to label themselves as a restaurant with entertainment, which I found interesting. Like it was like a jazz lounge where they had someone playing the trumpet while you dined on fine foods. Well, it turns out it is not a restaurant with entertainment. It is a strip club, and they got shut down. What do you think about the fate of Club Onyx in the quarantine?
Now we're speaking the same language. That's what I thought. I'm telling you, I knew I was an adult entertainment establishment. I knew I wasn't tripping. That's one. It's one in Atlanta, too. It used to be popping on Mondays. No, Onyx was on Tuesday. Magic was on Monday in Atlanta. But here's what I think. I think the adult entertainment industry is being discriminated against this pandemic.
Oh, stop it.
And I think we need to start a petition. Like, I really do.
No, we don't.
We should start a petition. That is a restaurant. Just because people like you don't eat seafood there, people like me have been doing it for 30 years. Steak, Jalen, lobster,
you know what?
Crab.
I can't be, you know what?
Wings.
Hold on.
I go there to eat. It just so happened to be an adult entertainment spot. It's a restaurant.
Jalen. You know what I forgot? I forgot to tell the people the big news. Today's Monday, May 4th. Tell the people what happens on Monday, May 11th.
Wow. It's been a long time coming. I feel like Nas, as he introduced a record, what was that, Hate Me Now? 9 years after doing a passion project that was in neither one of our contracts, that we did a podcast once a week, then 5 days a week. We did Grantland Basketball Hour. Shout to the Podfather, Bill Simmons, all of our original crew, Harlan Endelman, Reg the Ledge. The list goes on and on. I would like to acknowledge, from being a two-hour radio show to a late-night television show for 30 minutes, then a little bit earlier at late night, then in the afternoon for 30 minutes, then in the afternoon for an hour, Jalen and Jacoby will officially be moving to ESPN Monday, May 11th at 4 p.m. Eastern. We
ESPN
need
two,
your
right?
support.
ESPN
nah,
Plus? ESPN
nah,
App? ESPN
nah,
2?
Nah.
ESPN
nah,
Radio?
Not going to be able to do it. We graduated.
Like the real ESPN?
Fam.
The real
absolutely,
ESPN? They
the
put
real
us on a real ESPN.
ESPN?
What?
Yeah, the real real oh, big no. Meech. Absolutely.
There's a problem, Jay. There's a problem there. Because we all know the executives, they have both ESPN and ESPN2 on the screen, but they have the volume up on ESPN1. So now we got to watch what we say. You know, this is a concern, Jalen Rose. You know, we really – don't get us fired. Don't get us fired. You know what? Just a second ago, you were talking about how strip clubs are an essential business and adult industry needs to be respected and has been overlooked during the quarantine. And then you're going to transition
yes,
from
has.
That into they put us on ESPN1. No, Jay. No. Oh. We need you. We need you to stick to sports, dog.
When I hit the guy,
Jimmy
to
P
many told shows,
us.
They have a description. Many shows have a description. So if I hit First Take, it says debate. If I hit Get Up, it talks about the news of the day. If it talks about the same with Sports Center. When I hit Jalen and Jacoby, it says pop culture. That's what it says. And that's what we give, even when we're not speaking. And for everybody that supported us from day one, please, tomorrow, which is Tuesday, I'm going to start. When you show us that you DVR the show and you download the pod, you're eligible for a hoodie. I got hoodies at the crib. I'm ready to ship them off.
We need to tweet ESPN too.
And yeah, absolutely. ESPN. And lastly, tweet ESPN and watch us daily.
These are good hoodies
about the show.
Yeah, you got to review. You got to review the pod. Tweet at ESPN and DVR the show and download the pod. You know, because we need that support. We need that support. We need the ratings. They could take us off. We all on Monday the 11th. They could take us off Tuesday the 12th to say, oh, you know what, guys? We tried. It didn't work.
And Big Crown, I'm working on your 2X. Rez Delez, I'm working on the other 2X too. No question. And we're going to get the people what we want. We're going to keep doing what we do. You know, sometimes it takes you longer to get where you want to go, where you stay true to who you are. We've been fortunate enough to be able to do that. We're really fortunate that there are so many suits and execs and people that work on the show right now. Our team that works so really hard behind the scenes to make us look good and sound good and fact check us. We don't work hard. We don't study. You know, I don't have no facts. You know what I'm saying? We saying names wrong. And you know what I'm saying? We really try to give you barbershop-ish talk or man cave-ish talk on a national platform. And so for us to be moving to ESPN, we're really gracious, we're really honored, we're really humbled, we need the support, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're ready to do this. We earned our spot.
Did we, though, or did we just get this spot because there's a global pandemic and everyone has to stay inside? I can't tell. Nah. I'll take it regardless. I'll take it regardless. It's kind of like the Raptors championship. It's like, you know what? KD got hurt. Steph got hurt. You know, it's like everyone wants to celebrate Kawhi. You know what? Kawhi's great and everything. But you know.
Like the reason why they won is because he did loan management. It works.
Yeah. And you know, this will be the first time I ever really admitted this, but I argue with the opposite with you all the time. Draymond missing game 5 was a big part of that series.
Correct.
That was a big series. For no reason, got baited into it by LeBron, knowing exactly how many texts Draymond had, knowing exactly what would have happened if he stepped over him. Come on, Dray.
This is for you. Next thing you know,
yeah, we remember this. We remember this, like, oh, the chase down block. LeBron won it with the chase down block. Kevin Love had the stop. Kyrie had the shot. No, LeBron won it when he stepped over Draymond Green and got punched in the junk. That's when LeBron won the series right there. That was the best play of the series. The best play of the series was getting Draymond Green to punch him in the dick. That's what happened, okay? His legacy is going to be the chase down block, but the best play in that whole series was getting punched in the junk by Draymond Green. You know that's true. You know that's
absolutely
true.
I've been telling you that for years. I'm glad you finally admitted it. Take you not getting a haircut from a barbershop to start thinking straight.
Oh, we talking about not getting haircuts from a barbershop now? You want to talk about that?
No.
Oh, okay. Looks like you gave yourself a real good lineup today, Jay. Got the straight razor out?
I learned how to cut my own hair.
Real question. Yeah, I've been debating this because, you know, I always keep it a buck with the people, especially during the podcast exclusive. On the television, like, you know, people watching and stuff and executives getting scrutinized, but you're always going to get the real me. I looked at myself on the screen today. Allergy season's coming. My son woke up at 4 this morning and I was like, yo,
shout out to Q.
I might have to buy some makeup. I wear makeup on TV every day when I'm on TV. I got blotchy skin. You know what I mean? Like, I got big bags under my eyes from parenting these kids. I might have to buy some makeup and put makeup on every day. I'll officially be wearing more makeup than my wife at that point.
Well, usually people that do this profession, when people see them talking on television, not only do they have it, it's been professionally done.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Big shout out to all of our makeup artists over the years.
It kind of worked out well because for so many years I had bad skin, so I'm actually happy not to put nothing on my face right now. And since this ain't crazy HD, you can't tell that I'm so shiny, so it works out good. So I'm good. I'm not trying to wear nothing if I don't have to. And I haven't. But what I need to do is get some sun. That's what I need, some sun.
I got a little sun yesterday. So Saturday I take the kids. We went out to the beach, social distance on the beach. The beach parking lot was closed. Parked across the street, the golf course. Walked a couple blocks. Got to the beach, hung out there. Super social distance. No one's around. It was great. And then Sunday, my wife takes the kids. I don't even care where she takes them, but I get a little time to myself. So I got on a bike. I rode out to Central Park. You know what, Jalen Rose? I broke the law. I bought a Coors Light. Coors Light just happens to be a sponsor of the show. I for real bought a Coors Light, put it in a paper bag, sat in a patch of grass, social distance from everybody. And just, good for you. Drank down a tall boy by myself.
Those are the memories when you get 95. You're going to look back and be so happy you did that.
Felt like it was the end of the world all around me. But you know what? For those 10 minutes when I had that Coors Light in my hand, the mountains were blue.
Correct.
And I'm sipping it down.
Exactly.
Didn't tell me nothing. Didn't feel like the end of the world.
What a time to be alive.
Got a little bit of sun, a little vitamin D. Felt great. All right. Make sure you listen to Jalen and Jacoby every single day and the Mina Kimes Show and ESPN Daily as part of your daily podcast listening. And, of course, Jalen and Jacoby. And make sure you DVR Jalen and Jacoby 4 p.m. on ESPN. It's going to be a great
starting
hour
Monday.
Of programming. It goes 4 to 4:20. Coincidence? I don't know. You think it's a coincidence that we're on 4 to 4:20? They let us off the air right at 4:20
live
every day?
Well, you just want to make sure that –
it's a coincidence. Yeah, it's a coincidence.
The first show in the history of television. Well, just the first show in the history of television that gets announced for 20 minutes. That's all I know. I thought things were like 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours.
No. And then it's HQ. Highly questionable Dan Lebatard from 4:20 to 4:40, and then it is Around the Horn, taking you into Sports Center at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to that.
Sports Center ain't tomorrow. That ain't right.
Sports Center ain't at five. What do you want me to do? I don't know. I don't care. I don't even care what's on 4:20. All I care is what's on 4:40. They change it every day, dog. They put us in it. That's how they don't. You can tell they have no idea what they're doing in the lineup. They put us in there. They don't know what they're doing. You think I know what they're doing? I don't know. I got kids, man. I got to take care of them.
Oh, man. You sound like Method Man. We got to use that. On Monday, please use Method Man to start our show, D. Please. They gave these dudes a shout.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.